the book of Luke chapter 8. I will rush the portion of that chapter 8 that we have been reading. We are just going to focus on one last part of it. From verse 5, it says, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And there were those," in verse 7, "that fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it out." And then he said that the last group, in verse 8, fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great, that is, as great as that which was planted. And then he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That is, as I'm speaking these things, pay attention and know how it applies to your life. Pay attention and make sure you get a good interpretation of it so that you can adapt your life, all right, according to God's word, so that you will be able to bear fruit. That's what he meant when he said, "As he that hears ears, let him hear." Then he began to give the interpretation. From verse 11, he says, "The seed is the word of God." Please notice that. The seed is what? All right. He said, now, when the word of God is sown, verse 12, some will fall by the road, and some people will hear it. Matthew says, without their understanding it, the devil will come and remove the word. So they will not believe and be saved. That is, if they believe, that will have been the key to their salvation. They will have been saved. And salvation doesn't mean that now I go to church. That's the mistake we make. Salvation means that I have been pulled out of the wrong situation that I was in, and now I have come into a right situation. Do you understand my point? I have been removed from the center of sickness. I have been brought into healing. I have been removed from failure. I have been brought into success. I have been removed from confusion in life and hopelessness. And God has given me hope. That's the meaning of the word salvation. And that's what the word of God is supposed to produce. If you obey that word, it will always produce. Let me say this again. I've said it several times as we've been going about on this study. Today is our fourth day on it. It is not possible, hear it clearly, it is not possible for any person to hear God's word, believe it, and it will not produce in the person's life. It is not possible. What goes wrong a lot of times is that people sometimes are promised what the preacher cannot deliver and God never promised. That is why people say the word is not working. It is not possible. The word can never not work. Do you follow my point? The only time it doesn't work is when people don't believe that word. The only time it doesn't work, are you getting my point, is when people assume that God promised what he didn't promise. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me say this again. I know it has become like a pet project to me, but it's my best example, all right, to illustrate why people say the word does not work. A man gets up and sows a gigantic seed toward his 2009 breakthrough. 2009 passes, he doesn't get anything, and he says it doesn't work. Yes, what didn't work is that somebody said if you give one single offering, your whole life will change. God never said so. Do you get the point? God never said so. The word of God works all the time. What am I saying? Jesus said, if they hear and believe, they will be saved. I don't want to go over that again. We've discussed it before. If you're not around those days, please get the whole series. All right? Today is the fourth in the series, profiting from God's word. Now, we read that, okay, the other ones, verse 13, those ones that fell on rocky soil didn't have depths of earth. They received the word with joy. And they were excited. That's what he was saying. But then when it came to the word producing, one of the things that must happen, all right? Or let me say, when it comes to the word producing, one of the things that must happen in your life is that you must be tested. You will go through the times of trial. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, those times of trial is when you know those who really have root and those who don't have root. Now, because these people didn't have root, after a while, they fell away, all right? Now, where we are going is the last part. Like I said, we have been on this for a while. If we're not around, please get the CD. So I don't have time to go over all of that thing. And then he said, let's just think about the last group. Let's quickly jump to verse 15. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. They got that word into their good and honest heart and held it. He said, they hold fast to that word. And they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. Please notice that word. They bear fruit with perseverance. We have seen all of these things. What I said there when we're discussing this is that, like I said, God doesn't promise anything overnight. Let me say this to you again, just to help all of us. When God, I want to use Abraham as an example. When God called Abraham, he said, I will make you a great nation. A prerequisite for having a great nation is having at least one child. Do you understand my point? You must have offspring that will multiply and become the great nation. Abraham didn't have. God said, I will make you a great nation. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, why I brought that one up is that it took 25 years from the time that God gave that word to the time Isaac will be born. And hear this again. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It said, when the clouds are full, all right, they pour forth rain upon the earth. When you talk about rain is a type of the blessing that God wants to pour into people's lives. Did I hear an amen? Rain is a type. So when God wants to pour a blessing to your life, what he does is that he allows your cloud to be full. And do you know who fills up your cloud? Let me tell you. You. You are the one that will fill up your cloud. So God said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. What does that mean? It means that Abraham, every time in life, I will give you instruction. Then I will test you through some circumstances. Then depending on how you react to those tests, your cloud will continue to fill. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Do you get the point I'm making? When, as an example, God kept on telling him, occasionally you hear it, look, this is my plan for you. You will become great. Then a day came, there was quarrel between him and Lot's people. Which choice will he make? That was the test. When he was ready to let Lot go, all right, and allow Lot take the most, you know, physically speaking, precious part of the land, he passed the test. His cloud was getting fuller. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. Are you getting the point I'm making? There was a time, again, all right, when he had to go maybe to war to go and rescue Lot. Okay? And then he met Melchizedek. And then he honored Melchizedek, one. Number two, he turned to the king of Sodom and said, lest you say I made Abraham great. He made a choice. He let everything go, left there with nothing. His cloud was getting full. What God was saying is that I've trained this man. I'm testing him. As you pass the test of God, you add to your cloud. Are you following my point? And then last of all, many things happened throughout his life. Then last of all, the year before Isaac was born, God was going to Sodom and Gomorrah to go and destroy it. And Abraham did not know who was going anywhere. He just saw strangers walking in the wilderness. And he knew they had to be tired. And he showed them hospitality. And Peter said, let's not forget to entertain strangers, because men have entertained angels without knowing they were angels. This is what I'm making. When God wanted to bless Abraham, the last thing he had to do was to entertain those strangers. Please notice this word. He was not aware that they were what? Angels. What am I saying? 25 years of filling his cloud. Eventually, God looked at him and said, tell your wife, this time next year, she will deliver. The woman said, you must be kidding me. But she delivered. Are you getting my point? God gave. Now, I'm bringing out something here. God never fails anybody. The problem is that people want to set time for God. Somebody told you that, do this and immediately God will just explode. You did it. God didn't do anything special. And you thought that the word of God doesn't work. Listen, what refused to work is that I did not send them, God said, yet they prophesied. People want to quickly do something and get exciting results. Please, and then we like to testify. I want to say, who has a testimony? Testimonies are good. You understand my point? But occasionally, we want to now use that as a justification of the fact that these things happen quickly. All right? These things happen quickly. Immediately. Like somebody used to say, today, Jesus must answer me today. He answers. He always does. But sometimes, he doesn't manifest the answer that day. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. So, what am I saying here? God always, when he called Abraham, it took 25 years for everything to be put together for Isaac to be born. God had to train Abraham in faith. The word of God works all the time. And that's why we read here, he said, they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. They bear fruit with what? Perseverance. In the times of trial, they don't change their mind. Please forgive me. I'm always talking about money matter. Will you forgive me? I want to correct your brain, all right? Because there's so much funny teaching out there that we need to teach that which is true, which is correct. Okay? It said they bring forth fruit with perseverance. What I always like to say is this. Whatever it is you cannot continue, don't start. You hear what I said? That which you are not willing to continue, don't start. Please, this is the way it works with Christianity. It's a continual walk with God. I want to emphasize that. You can't give one offering and get a breakthrough tomorrow. Please, you can't. It's not possible. God never promised it. What you do is, look, I'll give myself as a testimony. All right? I'm not going to tell you what God did in my life suddenly. I'm just going to tell you the way I have learned it. I can be looking for money. If it happened recently, I needed a lot of money to do certain things. As I was looking for that money, trying to gather it, I remembered, oh, there's this charity work that my wife and I does. While waiting for money, I did that one. Now, you get what I'm saying? Because, you see, that's what we mean by bearing fruit with perseverance. In the center of my need, I continued my responsibility. Do you follow what I mean? There was a time I needed to buy something. And there was a pledge my wife and I had made in our hearts towards a particular ministry work somewhere. So because of that, because of the need we had, we temporarily forgot that and we're trying to do what we had to do. Then I told my wife one day, I said, wait, oh, this is what is called sin. That wait, are you trusting yourself or you are trusting God? Say, we're not trusting ourselves, we are trusting God. I said, therefore, let us continue in doing good. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, I wasn't trying to bribe God. Do you follow what I mean? No, but because what I am doing is the right thing to do, I am supposed to be doing good. So even in the midst of my own need, I continued my good doing. And as God is my, in fact, you know, I don't have the stupid head to be tying something to it. God, as I'm about to do this, you go do something. God will say, okay, if I don't do anything, go and call the police. The policeman that will arrest me and charge me to the court. You know, a lot of the off, we like to make deals with God and we don't know whether he's signing the other part of the line. You know, people, somebody have told me before that you can use this one to challenge God. I said, you see, you think he's your mate. You challenge him. You challenge those who are not sure of themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said, God doesn't, you can't challenge God. If God has made a promise, obey him, the fruit is yours. Do you get my point? He said, how do you challenge somebody when you are not sure that's what he wants to do? You come and say, I will challenge Pastor Banky. I will get to Bible study today by 12 o'clock. And when I will have gotten there, he will give me 5,000. Did I ever tell you that I was planning to give money to those who come early? All I said is that if you come late, I lock the door against you. That's all I ever promised. So if you come early, you will get the fruit of open door. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You want to obey God, you obey him continually without tying strings to the obedience. They bore fruit with what? With perseverance. Even when they were not getting what they would have loved to get, they continued to hold fast to the word. Even when they were persecuted for righteousness' sake, they did not stop doing righteously. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, even when, you know the way it is, unconsciously we think that obey God, prosperity will come. Let me tell you the way it is most of the time. If you were prospering in disobedience before, when you start obedience, what you first meet is lack of prosperity. Maybe before you did was bribe, courts, kick front, kick back. Then you started hearing the gospel that said, that's not the way business is supposed to be done. And you want to start God's way. Oh boy, listen, the first few jobs nobody is going to give you. Your payment is going to get stalled here and there. Do you follow my point? Then some people will say, righteousness does not pay. That was why in Malachi, all right, the people were lamenting. They said, what good is it that we have served God and we have walked mournfully before him? He said, now we are calling the wicked blessed and those who try God, they go scot-free. But you know what God said? He said, you don't understand that I have a day coming. Do you understand that? He said, the day is coming that shall burn like an oven. That is, right now the day hasn't come. So you think, do you follow, that those who are disobeying me are the ones that are prospering? He said, but the day will come when I will make a distinction between those that serve God and those who don't serve him. Now listen, until that day, you will do righteously and you wonder whether it has any fruit. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's why he said they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. That you don't change your mind just because the one you are following now is not getting quick results. Let me tell you again. Be careful. He said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Therefore, God does not use possession to validate anybody's life. Do you get my point? The God who said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses, does not enter into competition to use material possession to show who is obeying him and who is not obeying him. Now, so the point I was making is that the word of God always works. Is that all right? But then we have to be ready to hold fast onto it in the midst of trials, in the midst of temptations, that life will always have you tested. That's how God knows those who really want to bless. I was explaining something about the day. I said what? The day. That there is a day that is coming when God will distinguish between those who serve him and those who didn't serve him. And until that day, it may appear as if the world is not working. Are you getting my point? So that's why I'm just emphasizing that one again. That he said that, and they hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. They hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. I explained to us before that holding it fast means the thing is about, somebody is trying to remove it from your hands. Or the thing wants to slip away. Remember we said that from Hebrews? He said, let's be careful. He said in Hebrews chapter 2, that this thing doesn't slip away from us. Once we have heard the word, there is a tendency that the thing might slip. It's our responsibility to ensure that it does not slip from us. I hope you get that point. Now, that's where we ended in all of these our discussions. And there's a last portion of it that we need to read. And that's what I want to explain today. That's what I ended with on Tuesday, if you were around. I want to just develop it further and then we'll close. Verse 16. Having said all of these things, Jesus said something. Now, before I read it, please listen to me for a second. Remember what he said? He said, the seed is what? The word of God. And if you go and read Mark chapter 4, he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed seed into the ground. He said, the earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. And he said, the seed is the word of God. So he said that if the seed is planted in a good and honest heart, okay, and the person holds it even through all the times of testing, that he will bear fruit eventually. Do you understand that? Now notice this, the word bears fruit once he finds a good and honest heart, and the person is willing to persevere in holding on to the word of God. I hope you get that point. Now bear that one in mind. That is the summary of everything we read earlier. Now let's now read that verse 16. It said, now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. The reason is that there's nothing hidden that shall not become evident, and not anything, and there's nothing secret that shall not be known and come to light. That is for everybody to see. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. Please hold that and quickly go to the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 1. If you read from that chapter 1, John was describing the vision that he saw. And concerning the Jesus that he saw, he said he had seven stars in his hand, and he stood in the middle of the lampstands, seven golden lampstands. If you read verse 12, all right, he said, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, I saw a son of man clothed in a robe. All right, and in verse 14, he says, he described the person. I just want to say something. Verse 16, he said, and in his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in his strength. Now, where I want to go really there is verse 20. He said, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, he said, the seven stars are the angels, or the messengers, or the heads, the people in charge of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Please, I want you to notice another thing. When he was giving a message to, for example, to the church in Ephesus, he said to them that they should be careful. Read verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at the first, or else I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Please, I hope you've noticed that. I'll pass a few comments on it, and then we'll go back to where we were. Now, notice that Jesus said something there. I am the one, in effect, that's in charge of the lampstand. I can remove the lampstand, or I can put a lampstand. Do you understand the point? Now, notice something. Just bear that one in mind, and go back to where we were, Luke chapter 8. Don't bother reading it. I'll just explain what he said is there. He said, no one after lighting a lamp, okay, hides it. If you light a lamp, it's not for under the bed. It's for a prominent place so that it can shine. The Bible says that out of Zion will flow forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What does that mean? He said, arise, shine, all right, because your light has what? Has come. That is, what happens anytime somebody's light comes is that he shines. Do you understand the point? And I'm bringing out something here, that the lampstand upon which you will shine is whose lampstand? The Lord Jesus Christ gives you a lampstand once your light has come. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying here. Jesus said, now let me tell you what a lampstand is. I gave an example last time, which I think is for me is the most beautiful example. You've heard me use her as an example a lot of times. Mary Kay Ash. Mary Kay Ash said that she, after she retired from direct sales business, she decided to write a book, listen to this, on how sales are supposed to be done. Do you know, while editing our Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy seminar messages, I was happy we did that seminar. There were some basic things that I didn't even remember that we taught, all right, that were there. And I said, if anybody will do these things with prayer, that is, you pray and commit your ways to God, it is not possible that you will not succeed in life in doing business. Listen, you may not make 10 million naira overnight. Do you understand my point? Please, forget that quick money thing. No matter the amount of offering you give, you will not become rich suddenly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is not God's order to just, you know, you just see, you know, someone to come and testify, one strange testimony. I'm not interested. What we want is constant work with God. Do you understand my point? And a persistent increase until you finally succeed and your name becomes great. Do you follow the point I'm making? Get that one very clear. Now, if you practice those things, let me just say this to you again. I've said this 10,000 times. Maybe not literally, all right, but many times. God promises you the same thing the devil is promising you. Listen, God may not come harassing you, but he has about the same promise for this life as the devil tries to offer people. Let me explain what I'm saying. He came to Jesus and said, jump down. No, he said, bow down and worship me, and I will give you everything. Do you follow? But Jesus refused. At the end of the day, the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. It's the same thing. What is the difference? The difference is that Satan said, I will give you now. Bow down. Bow down. But God said, wait. Walk before me and be perfect, and I will bless you. Let me give you another example. How many of you remember the story of Joseph and Mrs. Potiphar? Joseph had everything under his control in that house. Of course, apart from Mrs. Potiphar, the boundaries set around him excluded Mrs. Potiphar. So what was she doing? She was offering him more than he had been given. Listen, let's look at it on a spiritual perspective. She was offering him more than he had already. Those who don't understand, they will say, you have the madam, you have everything. She comes under your control. But there's one problem. She had to bow to Satan to get her. Bowing to Satan, a lot of us don't understand. We think you have to go and look for one shigiri. No, you got shigiri. One carving, an idol, you put it down and pour libation in his head. You know, that's why the white man makes me laugh. He thinks the African man worships the devil and he doesn't. Listen, those who do real Satan worship, they don't have any shrine. They don't have any shrine. The Bible says those that worship him, that is God, we worship him in spirit and what? In truth. Those who want to really serve Satan, the same thing. They don't need a shrine. It's the wickedness of their hearts. You follow what I'm saying? That is, it is not when you are bowing down. He said, those who love money, it's not those who have photograph of money on their wall and every morning they kill a cock towards money. It's those who will do anything. Go against the word they have given. Stab their friend in the back. Steal if necessary. Lie, cheat to get money. They are the ones who worship money. No matter how much you desire to have money, as long as you are not ready to disobey God to have it, your desire is righteous. Do you follow the point I'm making? I brought that one up to explain the issue of Joseph again. That if Joseph had gone in with Mrs. Potiphar, he had worshipped the devil. I hope you are getting my point. And what the devil is promising is that, look, I will give you everything. But he did not. At the end of the day, did he get everything? More than everything. But first, like Jesus Christ, before Jesus got the whole kingdom of the earth, before he came boldly and said, all powers in the heavens and on the earth have been given unto me. First, he had to go to the cross. Are you getting the point? He had to go around without any... You know, Jesus didn't have any property he could call his own. He's one man. If he was a preacher today, he won't have a car that's his own. But you have every car in the world to use. He would just come to town. His disciples just call three people and say, bring all your cars. The Lord is in town. When they will finish, he will ride away again. Somebody else will carry him, drop in the next place. He had to borrow boats. He didn't even pay for them. Peter, can I use your boat for a few minutes? They said, where's your house? At the beginning, he had the house. After that, he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I hope you're getting my point. Finally, the people he had suffered for took him, beat him, and killed him. Even on the cross, somebody was there abusing him. He was despised, the Bible said, and rejected. The Bible says, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But by the time he was resurrected, he said, look at it. All powers in heavens and on earth. Listen to Joseph's situation also. Joseph, after all of that, where did he get into? Prison. Into the dungeon. That was now a slave in prison. But when he resurrected, are you seeing that? All powers in Egypt had been given unto him. Listen, it was what Satan was offering these people that God finally gave them beyond what they were planning to get. The difference is that in both situations, they had to go through the cross. That is why, listen, deliver yourself from the love of quick money. You know, it always makes me laugh. Drink this soft drink, and you can arrange these 10 bottles. You will get a car. I've seen muguns drinking it. 7-Up did one, 1993, when I was a youth copper. To win a car, one man almost drank his life out. It was an NYC official in my camp in Taraba State. The guy would literally buy a crate of 7-Up and be drinking. And he made a statement, and I realized how foolish some human beings are. He said he has drank in Lagos. I'm not joking about this. You guys think I'm joking. That he has drank, now he's drinking in Taraba State. That he's thinking of now going to Kano to go and drink because it sounds like a joke, doesn't it? That evening, in Wukari, in my NYC camp, I was looking at this man that this guy can't be serious. So you think the bottles are waiting for drinkers like you to arrive to drink? Because, you know, they always have one bottle that's missing. One cap that's missing. You spell car, maybe, or they will do this. Maybe the E will be scarce, or something like that. He had all the press they had. He had all the caps complete, apart from the crucial ones. He was going to go around drinking. You know me, I believe that, you know, I just believe, and God is the one that led me to that faith, that I can never win it. You know my reason? That's not the passport to prosperity. That's not the passport to prosperity. Quick money. Look, deliver yourself from it. So my wife loves Who Wants to Be a Millionaire a lot, and I think I watch it also. It's a very interesting program. But there was one lady once, she described how much money she had invested so that she can show up on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Over 30-something thousand, I remember, recharge card, playing millionaire online. And she was saying it, and Frankie Doho was saying, yes, all right, so it has finally paid off. And I told my wife, I said, look at it. Millions of people are watching it, not realizing that she's not the only one that did it. At least 500,000 people have done that stuff. MTN is getting richer. They ain't getting nothing. Some of them rich, they drop to 20,000 and walk home. Forget quick money. What you need in life is what? Persistent walk with God. Eventually you will succeed. Please get that point. It's not overnight. It's not overnight. They bear fruit with perseverance. Listen, deliver yourself from it. There's a reason why I'm saying that. Some people say, it's just this one. Once I've gotten this one. Number one, you won't get that one. And the peradventure you did, after that, you want to continue because you have already formed the habit. You can't say, it's just this one. Once I finish with this one, I will now stop doing 419. Listen, two things. One, that's the one that will land you in jail. In 15 years time, when you come out, all right, all your friends will be made and established. They didn't steal. You've allowed a few 419 people who are showing off to impress you that is a path to progress. It is not. The work that endures is born with perseverance. Do you get my point? You will face your calling in life. We just finished our series, Life of Purpose. You will face what God asked you to do. Do you understand my point? You face it and then God blesses it. You will go through trying times. You will go through times when people will call you. Your father will call you and say, look, are you sure you don't need something else to do? Are you sure what you are saying? All right? Makes sense? Because they've watched the result and nothing good seems to be coming. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Now, let me go back to what I was saying. That woman is an example. Mary Kay says she wrote the book. I've told that story several times. So as to tell people how to do business. Please listen to what I'm saying. Listen. That this is how it's supposed to be done. And then, listen. After she finished the book, she asked herself, who will want to read it? I'm not a known person. Nobody knows who I am, all right? Nobody will want to spend their money buying a book written by nobody. Now, listen to this. She decided to put the things into practice. Do you follow? That was why she started a company. And the company became very great. She was literally a billionaire. The company is currently worth, of course, they are still in private hands. They didn't go public. They went public once and came out. But this company is worth literally billions of dollars. Now, there's a reason why I told the story. Her light came, listen, and God gave her a platform to shine. Now, let me say that again. Her light came. What is light? Understanding. Illumination. Do you follow that point? Her light came and God gave her a platform to shine. This is the mistake people make. They want to create a platform. They don't have light. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me tell you the practical application. Look, the life of a Christian is different. God said, my ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. What does that mean? When you guys want success in life, you go and struggle to get it. He said, when I want to produce something, I speak. He said, so shall my word be that goes forth. It's by my word that I produce results. He said, the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, that is, when he wanted results, he brought what? Illumination, a word. He said, let there be light. I'm bringing out something. That's how he gets results. He says, so shall my word be. Let me tell you something. They talk about generational curses. You've heard it. We're in Africa. We say it all the time. This is the problem my father had. It's starting the case in my family. People think that means there's a witch hanging around. Let me say it to you again. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this. There's no witch hanging around. You know what's hanging around? Bad thoughts. Bad concepts. You have imbibed everything your father said. And that is what is producing in your life again. Listen. You've gone through, maybe you look in your family, they've had experiences like this. Listen, you can't fight it. Oh, I remember the story of Oedipus. How many of us heard the story of Oedipus? Never heard the story of Oedipus? The Greek mythology. I told the story in my book, I think, Acquire Life. I told that story there. Listen, let me tell you something about natural things. This one I have discovered. Most people end up in the center of the thing they are running away from. Let me say it to you again. Hear it. I'm not scaring you. I'm declaring truth to you. Most who are working hard now because of poverty will end up poor. Most who are being very careful so that they don't marry a wicked man like their mother did will end up marrying a man worse than their mothers. I'm telling you, I've seen this thing several times. Do you know why? Please, get that book and read it, Acquire Life. There's a reason. The reason is because the very steps they are taking to escape that problem is what is leading into the problem. I read the story of one man of God who, because his father was a preacher and was poor, as an old man, he went to visit his father, and his father did not have a house. This was in America. The young man, also a preacher, swore that he would never suffer like his father. And he began to work hard so as not to suffer like his father. And because of that, he never had money, he never had a good ministry. Let me tell you something. There is no escape in life apart from in God. Oh God, I wish you would get my point. Only a fool is not afraid except God has given him a word. I don't know whether you understand my point. If you have seen problems in life and you are afraid, please, listen, half of your problem is already solved. Once a friend of mine, because I traveled and he had not seen me for a long time, he came to take me out. That day, he took me to a restaurant in the afternoon. And we sat there. 2 hours after we finished eating, we were still talking. In fact, the day I called him on the phone, I said, "Oh boy, how now?" No, he called me. "Ah, I heard you are around." I said, "I'm around." I said, "So how's madam?" He laughed. Because we're in school together. I've been married for almost 10 years. So I assumed he was married. He laughed. He said, "I'm not married now." I said, "Are you serious?" I thought, he laughed. Anyway, cut the long story short. He said, "We'll see now." So that day he came to pick me and we went out and started talking. So we go to the marriage matters. He told me stories. All kinds of things he has seen in his church. All kinds of stories. And that, I'll be honest with you, Banky, I think I'm afraid. That one of the problems why he's not married is because he has thought about all the problems that can arise. And actually, as a matter of fact, he's afraid. That everybody keeps on telling him, "Well, you're afraid. Go and get married." That day, by the time we finished, he said something. He said, "You're the first person that's helping me." You know why? I told him the truth. I said, "Oh boy, listen, before I tell you what I told him. When Jesus told the disciples they couldn't divorce their wives, what did they say?" He said, "In that case, it's better not to marry." These are men who understood problems in life. Not all these young boys and girls that are feeling very happy. The love that an 18-year-old boy has is pure. It doesn't understand problems. The other day I was in class, one of my students was married. I found out she was married. I said, "Right now, your husband and you are feeling very happy with yourselves, and I made something that you see, you are still very..." He said, "Ah, it will be like that forever." I said, "Shut up." I said, "Pastor Bank, you don't have faith." Listen, my friend. I have faith. And I dare to say, I have a happier marriage than most people can ever wish for. That's not bragging. No. A lot of people don't know the kind of joy I have is practical. They think it's impossible. So don't think I'm telling you out of something. I don't have a bad experience. My wife loves me like mad. I think my wife loves me than she loves any other person on earth apart from God. She will gladly sell her 4 children if that's what she needs to give up to keep her husband. Am I lying? And I love my wife very much too. I tell my children once in a while, "All of you get out. You are products of the love I have for your wife, for your mother. So why are you coming to this? All of you go away. I don't want to see all of you. Before you, she was. So just go." But why did I say that? I said, now listen, disciples of Jesus, they said in dark is better not to marry. I have had times when I told my wife, "I wish I could send you back to your father." But that's why I told you, don't take marriage vow that doesn't have for better for worse till death do us pass in it. All these Pentecostal vows, they make me laugh. From today we shall be one. And that's nonsense. For better for worse, I love that one. God wrote it, I believe. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's why it's a covenant. Any other thing short of that is an arrangement. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like I always say, if they didn't give you that one in church, go home and do it yourself. It's very crucial. It's very crucial. So I told my friend, I said that you are afraid is good. That a lot of people are not afraid, not because they have faith, but because they don't understand the problems. Do you know? Look, listen. Do you know there are people that they don't understand what it means for water not to run? I heard a story once, a lady, Nigerian woman, in the UK, one day in their school premises, water wasn't flowing in their hostel. And everybody was sitting there. They didn't go to school. So she went to another portion where water was flowing, got water in a container, and began to use the Nigerian method, dip a bowl and pour the water. They were very ingenious.
genius. I mean, you know, like, how did they think about that? You know. I'm telling you, it was toxic. See, this girl is so ingenious.